coming to Red Village. If I met you, my name is Aaron, the pastor here, and we're very thankful that you're with us here this morning. I know a lot of our people are gone this weekend, traveling for weddings and graduation. It's just that time of the year. So I know some are here this week for graduation, so we're thankful that you're here to worship the risen Jesus Christ this morning. At the start of the year as a church, we set our hearts towards thinking how we can make an impact for the cause of Jesus Christ here in our beloved Madison. As a church, we just don't want to go through spiritual motions. We just don't want to just play church and not make a difference here in our city, not make a difference in our world. That'd just be very tragic for us. It'd be tragic for our church to get so wrapped up in just doing church that we just neglect being a witness to the gospel, witnessing to the gospel to the world all around us. So as most of you know, a few weeks back, we started a spring sermon series, which is titled Beautiful Feet, a series meant to go hand in hand with this desire for us to make an impact. Meaning that when we tell others the greatest news the world could ever know, this news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are doing something that God views as being beautiful. God delights in seeing his children tell others about his eternal son, Jesus Christ. What we learned in the opening sermon, that there is nothing in this life that will impact a human heart in a way that the gospel of Christ impacts a heart. Proclaiming Jesus Christ is how we will make the greatest impact as a church. As mentioned, there's nothing that we will ever do that will be more powerful than proclaiming the message of Jesus. This morning, our passage of Scripture is a testimony of the early Christian church. A passage where we see these early believers being used by God to do the very thing that we hope to do as a church, make an impact. This morning, as we come to this second to last sermon in our spring sermon series, we come to a passage that in many ways kind of puts together all that we've learned the last several weeks into one text. We'll see that the early church basically lived out the main points of the different sermons that we've had thus far. For the sake of review, let me just quickly remind you the main points of each sermon we've had before we get to our text. So in the first week, we opened up this series, and we were reminded that our hearts desperately need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. We were reminded that God uses his people who walk with beautiful feet to communicate this message that hearts desperately need to hear. We read in our first sermon this. It says, how are they to hear unless someone is sent? And how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. In our second sermon, this is a sermon given by Mike, and he reminded that even though hearts, human hearts, desperately need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, often human hearts not only reject that message, but even at times persecute those who deliver the message. And we were challenged to remember that we should be willing to suffer for the cause of the gospel, that we must be willing to suffer all things for the sake of the elect. In the third sermon, and so we looked at the reputation of both John the Baptist and that of our Lord Jesus Christ as he walked this earth. And we see that if we are going to walk with beautiful feet, we must be willing to engage those who are not like us. And we were reminded that our reputation might suffer for it. If you remember, the religious people of the day accused John the Baptist as being demon-possessed. The religious people of the day accused Jesus of being a drunkard. And they had these reputations because of their close identification that they had living among sinners, because they were active in the lives of sinners. And fourth, this sermon, we talked much about communication. I gave you this big word, the word contextualization. It's a word that means, how to adapt to a culture for the sake of communication. And we're reminded that we need to be the ones who bridge communication to others. As followers of Jesus Christ, we must be willing to serve others. As mentioned, to adapt to others, to become all things to all men, to clearly communicate the message of Jesus Christ. Communicate it in such a way that it is easy for them to hear, for them to best understand it. This, too, involves us getting in the lives of others, that we are to meet others where they are at. Fifth sermon that we had a few weeks back, this was given by Jay. We're reminded that we're not simply to try to seek people to make some type of shallow decision for Christ, But as we walk in beautiful feet, we're seeking conversions. We're praying for conversions. Our hope is that people would put their entire trust in Jesus Christ, put their trust, their hope in the empty, the wooden cross and the empty tomb, that they would be born from above, that God would give them a new heart. Sixth sermon we have. This is from last week. We were reminded that beautiful feet are feet that scatter. That we just don't stay in our simple little holy huddle, but we need to be willing to scatter to all the ends of the earth with the message of the gospel. And as we scatter, we're reminded that God is with us. All of who God is with us as we scatter. Each member of the Blessed Trinity is with us as we scatter. Now this morning, as we look at a passage of scripture from this early church, as mentioned, I think all of these sermon points we'll see put into action as these early believers live a life testifying to the truth of Jesus Christ. As we go through this passage, the challenge for us is this. What is our testimony? The challenge for us is, what are we known for in this life? The challenge for us is to think, are we really living our life in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So that is the intro this morning. Let me invite you to turn in your copies of the scriptures to Acts 4. If you don't have a copy of God's word with you this morning, it will be on the screen. I'll read through it just a bit. There's also some very fine print this morning in the bulletin insert. It'd be good for you to have that. It'll be helpful for you as you go through the sermon. As you're kind of finding your way there, let me just briefly set the context for you. So Acts 1, this is what we looked at last week. Shortly after Jesus' resurrection, he came to his followers and he told them to scatter. He told them to be witnesses. He promised the Holy Spirit would come and fill their hearts to empower them to do that. Then in chapter 2, we see these Christian followers beginning to do that, beginning to become witnesses of Jesus Christ. We see that the Holy Spirit descended upon these followers. We read of a man named Peter, whose heart was filled with the Spirit, and he proclaimed this great message at Pentecost. And we read that many in Acts 2 turned to Jesus Christ, that many did put their trust in him, that they began to sit under the teachings of the apostles, that many were baptized, that these early Christians began to break bread and share the Lord's Supper together, that they met together in the temple, that they were praying together, that they shared life together. In Acts 2, we see the first Christian church formed. And shortly after the church was formed, Acts 3, Peter and John, two men who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, began to perform healings in the area. In particular, they healed a crippled man. This man would have been a social outcast of the time period. This would have been an individual who would have been outside of the love of the so-called religious people of the day. Yet, this man, this cripple, was not outside the love of God. So God not only healed this man through Peter and John, he physically healed him, but more importantly, he spiritually healed him. As God gave him a new heart, a heart filled with faith in Jesus Christ. Chapter 3, Peter and John start calling people to repentance and faith in the message of the gospel. They were calling people to believe on Jesus Christ, to believe in the good news. We get through our text this morning, chapter 4. The religious people now are infuriated. They are angry by all that is taking place. They are now trying to work hard to stop Peter and John to declaring the message. They're trying by force, by bullying, to try to get them to stop walking in beautiful feet. Stop testifying to the name of Jesus Christ. So the context that brings us to our passage this morning, which I'll read for you. We'll be reading verses 1 all the way through 31 of Acts 4. I'm going to be reading out of the ESV, the English Standard Version. So if you want to follow along with me, then we'll pray and work through this passage. The Holy Spirit writes this. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it's already evening. But many of those who have heard the word believed. And the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem. Then Ananias, the high priest, Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were in the high priestly family. When they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God had raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Then when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For a noble sign has been formed through them, is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than men, you must judge. For we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard." When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them. These are the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, they went to their families and reported to the chief priests and the elders and said to them, when they heard it, they lifted up their voice together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? And the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in the city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus.'" And when they had prayed, the place in which they gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. That's God's word for us this morning.
Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your holy and perfect word. Thank you that through your word, you speak to us, you reveal your son Jesus to us, and we just pray that in this sermon that you would glorify Jesus, your holy servant Jesus, and we pray that you would indeed speak to us, we pray that you would change our hearts, we pray that you would glorify your son in all that we do. It's in his name that we pray, amen. There's a lot going on in this passage, a lot going on that we just don't have time to work through all of it this morning. The focus of our study is going to revolve around the testimony of Peter and John, how Peter and John testified to the truth of Jesus Christ and the effect that this testimony had. The This morning I have a four-point sermon for you. Let me give you the points right here. First point will be this. Beautiful feet have a recognizable testimony. Second, beautiful feet have a verbal testimony. The third point will be this. Beautiful feet have a contagious testimony. And then finally, the fourth point will be this. Beautiful feet have a continuous testimony. And the one big takeaway this morning, so I hope that you leave with, if you're going to leave with one thing, will just be this. Beautiful feet walk with a bold testimony of Jesus Christ. This is your challenge and my challenge this morning. As we live out our life, that we would live it out as a bold testimony to the truth of Jesus Christ. Next week, I'll be in a wedding in New York, so Robert will wrap up this sermon series for us. So today, this morning, this is my last attempt in this series to passionately encourage all of us, the best I can, to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. So as we'll be up front with you this morning, I'm going to be doing all that I can to passionately encourage you to walk with beautiful feet. So point one. Beautiful feet have a recognizable testimony. Last week, my family and I were back at my old stomping grounds, which is about 2 hours north of here, for my grandmother's 90th birthday party. It was really great to celebrate God's goodness to my grandma, and the gift of life that he's blessed her with these 90-plus years. It was a blessing to see so many family and friends come together to celebrate my grandma's life. When we were there, I was reminded once again how fast time flies. So I saw people there who I haven't seen in years. A number of different times, comments were made by how strange it was to see everyone all grown up. It's strange for some of the people back home who have not seen me in years to now see me as an adult.
Think of the kid playing on the Little League field or the kid mowing lawns in the neighborhood. So as conversations went on, at different points, one of my kids would no doubt just go running by. And then whoever I was talking to would, you know, catch the eye of that my kid running in front of us, and they'd always make comments like this, like how much my kids look like me. As if they looked at my kids, they could just tell, just by our different facial features, our actions, you name it, that those kids were my kids. A number of times throughout the years, comments have been made from aunts, uncles, friends, family members, how much my kids look like me, especially when they looked at my son Elijah, who's two. Often I've heard this, as it looks like little Aaron is running around as we look at Elijah. So I'm proud to say that people can just pick out who my children are. They resemble me. It's easy for people to recognize who my kids are. It's easy for them to recognize whom these kids belong to. This morning, as we look at our passage of Scripture, as we consider what it means to have a testimony, we could see that people could tell, people could perceive that Peter and John were children of God. People could look at them. They could see how they acted. And they knew whom they belonged to. The life of Peter and John in our text testified to others to the truth of Jesus Christ. Look back with me at our text of verse 13. The author of Acts, a man named Luke, wrote this. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they have been with Jesus." People could just tell by looking at Peter and John. They could tell by how they acted, what they were doing, what they were saying, that they were with Jesus. The testimony of their life was one which people could tell they were followers, they were disciples of Jesus Christ. There was no doubt to the onlookers. Right? They looked at these men and they said, no doubt, these men follow Jesus Christ. Just a few thoughts for us. Thoughts to consider. Things just to consider this morning, these characteristics that people need to see in us. Characteristics that people should recognize in us. Just a few things to consider. First, recognizable witnesses. These are bold witnesses. Throughout this passage, it's just screaming boldness. Peter and John, throughout the passage, are boldly doing things in the name of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the fame of Jesus Christ. Second, recognizable witnesses often are just common people who God uses to do uncommon things. In our text, people recognize that Peter and John were common. Right? They were not highly educated like the leaders, the religious leaders of the day. Uneducated, common, average, ordinary. Right, we don't need to have a seminary degree to testify to the things of Jesus Christ. God often uses ordinary people, just like you and me, to do extraordinary things. Third, recognizable witness leads others to be astonished. Boldly living out your life for the sake of Jesus Christ will lead other people to be astonished. Those around Peter and John in our text said they were astonished. They were dumbfounded by their testimony. Now let me be clear, this astonishment might not always be a positive one. Right? People might not be excited for this the astonishment that they have. But nonetheless, people will be astonished. It's a pretty good chance that you'll become the talk around the water cooler at work. You'll become the talk of the classroom. You'll become the talk of the family reunion if you live out your life boldly for Jesus Christ. One way or the other, people will be astonished. Question for us. Do people recognize that you have been with Jesus? Do people look at your life and can tell that Jesus Christ means everything to you? Do you live out your life as a testimony where people can recognize that you are a child of God? If not, let me just ask you this morning, boldly, why not? Why not? I think we need to see that this is important. And it is a major problem if people cannot tell that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Most likely this is some type of sin issue that you have in your heart, or I have in my heart, if people cannot tell that we have been with Jesus. This morning, your friend, if that is you, if your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family members can't tell that you are a follower of Jesus Christ, let me invite you to have the joy of repenting, to ask God for forgiveness of you in this area of your life, to ask Him to help you grow in this area of your life. When we are walking closely with Jesus Christ, we will be bold. He will lead us to do uncommon things, and people will be astonished. People will recognize that we have been with Jesus. Beautiful feet have a recognizable testimony. Second, beautiful feet have a verbal testimony. This is the primary way people know that we have been with Jesus, by you and I telling them. Yes, we ought to do social good. Yes, we ought to live our life caring for the poor, caring for the hurting. Yes, we should live our life in such a way that people can see our good works. But we can't just do that alone. We can't just live our life a certain way without verbally telling them about Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, the saddest testimony you and I could ever have is that if people see us doing good things and just label you as being nice, you're just a good guy, without really knowing why we're nice, without knowing why we do good things, if that is our testimony, being just nice, being just maybe a really good person, you have not verbally shared Jesus Christ. If you're not verbally telling them you've been adopted as child, if you're not verbally telling people for the hope, for the answer, the hope that is in you, right? We're glory thieves. We're just receiving praise of man. Man is singing our praises. Dear friends, we don't want that. We don't want that. As followers of Jesus Christ, we want Jesus. We want Him alone to receive the praise. We want to point people to Jesus, the only one who is worthy of our praise. Right? It should grieve our hearts. We should have a distaste in our hearts if we receive any praise from man. I mentioned this in the opening sermon series. The only way that man can have the hope of knowing Jesus Christ is by having their eyes open, by coming in contact with the words of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing through the words of Christ. And God has ordained it that His people are the ones to deliver, to proclaim the sacred scriptures so they could call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. How beautiful are the feet of those who verbally preach the good news. In our text, time and time again, Peter and John proclaim Jesus Christ. They proclaim the gospel to those around them. In verse 7 of our text, the religious authorities come to Peter and John. They question them. How are you doing these things? By what power are you doing these things? By what authority are you doing these things? Which, by the way, let me say this. When we're living out our life as a testimony of Jesus Christ, people will start to ask these questions. How is it that you're doing what you're doing? In fact, if no one is asking these questions to us, right, there's a problem. Verse 10 of our text, Peter and John respond to these questions. How are you doing these things, you ask? You want to know? It is through the power of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the one who's doing the great work. He and he alone. They were not hoarding glory for themselves. They did not proclaim anything special in themselves. No, they pointed the authorities back to Jesus Christ. Jesus was the one. He is the one who deserved any and all credit. He is the one who deserves any and all glory. Peter and John verbally testified to the authorities that the Jesus Christ whom they killed as they crucified him on the cross, the Jesus Christ whom they rejected as being the king, through him, he is the one by which these things are happening. If you go on in verse 12 of our text, Peter and John verbally testified that it's only through Jesus we can be forgiven of our sin and be brought to heaven. They say there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Providentially, this last week, as many of you know, I graduated from seminary, and this verse 12 was a focus of the seminary celebration. So other graduates, myself, were reminded to proclaim salvation in Jesus Christ, to verbally declare the scriptures, was proclaimed that salvation is found in Jesus and no one or nothing else. Only in him can man be saved and be ransomed back to God. Verse 17 and 18 of our text. The authorities were so annoyed by all the verbal witness of Jesus, they basically come to Peter and John and say, "Stop saying that name. We are sick of hearing this name of Jesus. We don't want to hear any more about Jesus in his gospel." You know, just see the authorities almost like my 2-year-old with his hands over his ears yelling at Peter and John to stop it. Stop talking about Jesus. Stop verbalizing his name. We don't want to hear anything more about Jesus. Only for Peter and John to verbally respond in verse 19 and 20 of our text by basically sticking it to the man. He said, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. But we cannot but speak what we have seen and heard. We cannot and we will not shut up concerning the things of Jesus Christ. When you think about it, honestly, how could they? I mean, really, how could they stop testifying to Jesus Christ? They just seen Jesus die on the cross, buried in a tomb, only to raise again from the dead 3 days later, to come and show them many signs and wonders, and was risen back into heaven. Right? How could they be quiet about that? How could they stop talking about this Jesus? When you think about it, dear friend, honestly, how could we stop verbalizing, testifying to Jesus Christ? We who have met the risen Jesus Christ in our hearts, the risen Jesus Christ who has transformed our lives, the Jesus Christ who has given us his love, his grace, his mercy, how could we ever be quiet about it? If we know Jesus Christ, how could we not verbally testify to others? So again, just a few points for us on this, just on this second point. So first, verbal testimony, once again, require us to be bold. In our text, Peter and John boldly told the authorities, not only what they did not want to hear, which you see in verse 9, right, that they killed Jesus, right, not an easy message. They boldly told them that, but they also boldly told the authorities what they needed to hear, the good news. Then in verse 10, that God has raised Jesus from the dead. Then in verse 12, God gives salvation to all who believe in Jesus Christ. As followers of Christ, we boldly tell people both the bad news of their sin, the bad news of their rebellion and what that has done towards their relationship with God, the bad news of their sin that puts them under God's judgment, the bad news that their sin pinned Jesus Christ to the cross. Right? We can't get away from this. The gospel makes no sense if we do not declare sin. Right, we boldly have to tell people the reality of sin, consequences of it. But also, as followers of Jesus Christ, we just don't stop at the bad news, but we boldly tell people the good news, that Jesus Christ took on the punishment for sin, that Jesus Christ died in the place of sinners, the good news of the gospel, that if we would call upon the name of Jesus Christ, God would forgive them of their sin. God would declare them not guilty of their sin. Boldly telling people that Jesus Christ is alive, that he has risen. He has risen indeed. Boldly tell people that he has conquered sin and death and the devil. Right? We do not have to shrink back. But we boldly, lovingly declare the truths of Jesus Christ. Second thing I think we need to notice, if we're going to have a verbal testimony, we will be set up for persecution. In our text, Peter and John were beaten for their testimony. A couple chapters later, a man named Stephen was killed. The first martyr, killed for his verbal testimony of Jesus Christ. Many followers of Jesus Christ throughout the centuries, including many in this very moment we sit here, are being persecuted for verbally telling others the message of Jesus Christ. This is part of the cost that we have of following Jesus Christ. As we begin to open up our mouths to tell people the gospel, we need to realize that we could be putting ourselves in harm's way. You might be ostracized at work, at school, in your family, for verbally proclaiming Christ. If you walk with beautiful feet, you are walking into harm's way. If that happens, let me encourage you with Peter and John and some of the early Christians in Acts, how they handled this persecution. Verse 21 of our text, as they're being persecuted, Peter and John, what do? They rejoiced. They praise God for what happened through their verbal testimony. If you keep reading to the next chapter, Acts 5, after more persecution comes, early Christians, once again, rejoiced. They rejoice in the persecution. They rejoice to be counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. Well, no doubt we don't need to seek persecution, but we also don't need to run from it. We need to see if we are being persecuted for having a verbal testimony. We need to see it as being a gift. We need to see it as being our joy. We need to see it as being praiseworthy. That God is so kind that he allows us to identify with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ who suffered and died on the cross. He allows us to identify with him through persecution. Verbal testimony will set you up for suffering. Third, verbal testimony should be an overflow of God's love for us. In our text, Peter and John could not but speak in the name of Jesus Christ. The love that God had for them, the love that they had for God, was a love that moved not only their hearts, but it was a love that moved their lips and their tongue. As mentioned in the open sermon of the series, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on any of us to share the gospel. Right? That's not my intention. My hope and prayer is that the love that God has for us, the love for sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, the love that compels us to share. That his love is our motivation. That God's love for us, our love for God, our love for our fellow man, would be so strong, so powerful, that persecution itself could not stop us from sharing. All that we do as Christians, including sharing the good news of Jesus, should be motivated, should be grounded in God's great love. Your friend, know God's love and share God's love. Verbally testify to others the old story of Jesus and his love. Beautiful feet have a verbal testimony. Third, beautiful feet also have a contagious testimony. This point speaks on how much we need each other. As in all other parts of our Christian walk, this is something that we do together in community. Look back again at verses 23 through 30 of our text. Peter and John, after they're released from prison, they go back to the church and they tell them what happened. Right? They tell the church how God had been with them. They tell the church how God has blessed them. They tell the church how they were persecuted. Now you think, you know, the church heard this report, right? That would drive them into some kind of panic, right? Some type of fear. It's almost like, okay, kids, right, pack everything up. You know, we're out of here. It's not worth it. It's just getting crazy here in Jerusalem. It's not wise for us to be here anymore. Persecution is coming. Time to head out. Time to zip your lips. Keep quiet. Don't say anything. Right? That's not what happened. That's not what happened when they came back to the church. In fact, just the opposite. Whatever fire was already burning the hearts of these believers, it was just stoked. As they got the report from John and Peter, it was just like fuel being added to their fire. Verse 24, when they heard the report, the church lifted their voices together to God in praise for who he is. The end of verse 24, all the way through verse 30, then this church, they pray this incredible prayer. I mean, just an incredible prayer, how they acknowledged God's sovereignty over heaven and earth, acknowledging the truth of God's word as they quote this Old Testament passage where David is pointing to Jesus. You know, they're just acknowledging God's authority that he had over the city, acknowledging God's authority that he had over Herod and Pilate. But the persecution did not cause them to doubt God. Rather, it caused them to further trust in God, caused them to further believe in the name of Jesus. Verse 29 of our text caused them to further want to tell others about this message of Jesus Christ. They pray this prayer, Lord, look upon the threats and grant your servants to continue to spread your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is what happens when we share. It becomes contagious. It makes others want to share. Your boldness might cause others to be bold. And vice versa, their boldness might cause you to be bold. As a church, the desire we have to walk in beautiful feet is best done together. We should be sharing with each other how we've been sharing. We should be testifying to each other how we've been testifying. But this should be of great interest to us. It should be part of our normal conversations that we have with each other. We should be concerned by who we're trying to reach with the gospel. We should be concerned of who we should be praying for, that God would open up their eyes so they could see Jesus. We should be concerned of who's in whose life, who's you're trying to reach the gospel, who's they're trying to reach the gospel. We should be bouncing ideas off each other as a church, coming alongside each other, encouraging each other, praying for each other. Having beautiful feet should be contagious to us. It ought to spread around our church. Let me just say here before we move to the final point this morning, if you know that you may be more gifted than others when it comes to sharing your faith, maybe seek out those who may be less gifted. Try to help them grow in this area. Help be an inspiration to them. In whatever way you can, bring others alongside you. Or if evangelism, sharing your faith, doesn't come natural to you, you have struggled for years to share your faith, humble yourself. Seek someone out in the church that you know is gifted in this area and go with them. See what they do. Maybe this is what Jesus did. Jesus called his disciples himself. He told them, come with me. I'm going to teach you how to become a fisher of men. And he did that. He went along proclaiming the kingdom, teaching others how to do it. Two of the people he brought along, you ask? Peter and John from our text. Beautiful feet have a contagious testimony. And fourth, finally, beautiful feet have a continuous testimony. At this point, I really hope and pray that this is true of us as a church. My great fear that I have is that we can go through a spring sermon series like this. We can get all excited about evangelism. We feel convicted. Hopefully, you feel encouraged. We can set our hearts and minds to taking steps of faith to reach out to those around us with the gospel. Then a couple weeks, sermon series ends. Sharing of our faith, once again, heads to the back burner of our hearts. My fear is that this spring sermon series has almost become like a checkoff list for us. Okay, we went through it, did a number of different things, learned a number of things, challenged a number of different things, check it off my list, and I'm going to move on to the next Christian to-do list, the next thing on my honey-do list. The hopes of this sermon series that we walk in beautiful feet, that this become a part of our DNA of a church, that will become a natural part of our everyday lifestyles. That by God's grace, our church will always continuously be reaching out to those around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The last verse of our text, verse 31, after the church finished praying, as the church was shaken, As our hearts were filled with the Holy Spirit, Scripture tells us that they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Right? For them, it just didn't stop after hearing this report, this challenge, this encouragement from Peter and John. Right? These early Christians continually shared the gospel. And as we read through the rest of Acts, this is what we see. We see this continuous testimony. This book of Acts covers over 30 years of time. And the book details the continuous testimony that God's people had, how they continually testified, sharing the good news of Jesus as they scattered all over the region. Dear friends, may that be true of us as well. May we be a people, a church, who continuously shares the message of Jesus. Until death do we part. Will we do it perfectly? No. Right? We will not. Fortunately, we will fail. We will not always do what God has called us to do. Right? We will fail in this endeavor time to time. Our feet will not always be beautiful. If we look back even to Peter and John in the gospel accounts, we see these men not always perfectly following Jesus. We don't see these men always perfectly walking in beautiful feet. In fact, if there's any character in the scriptures that should give us hope, it's Peter. Peter often would fail Jesus, often would just completely blow it. In the gospel accounts, he's almost like aloof, a failure who continually messes up time and time again. Yet, God in his great love and his great grace kept pursuing Peter. God's love and his grace kept picking Peter off the mat, dusting him off, to the point we see Peter here in our text, boldly walking with beautiful feet. This morning, we have to pray and set our hearts to continually to share. And when we fall, we must pray and trust that God's grace will pick us back up, dust us off, and set us back on the course that he has set us on. Just friends, this morning, let us set our hearts to have a lifetime of testifying to a wooden cross in an empty tomb. Continue to share the gospel with your neighbor who has rejected it thus far. Continue to share with your family member who thinks you are just an absolute fool for following Jesus. Continue to share with your kids during your family devotions. Continue to seek to make inroads at work. Continue to share the message hearts desperately need to hear. Continue to share in the face of persecution. Continue to share your life with sinners, even if it means you get a bad testimony. Continue to share by becoming all things to all men. Continue to share seeking, praying for conversions. Continue to share and scatter to all the ends of the earth. Continue to live your life as a testimony to the name above all other names, Jesus Christ. For there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Beautiful feet have a continuous testimony. As we close this morning, let me invite anyone here who is not yet a follower of Jesus Christ to believe in him, to run to Jesus, to trust in him, to find your salvation in Jesus. Make him the joy and treasure of your life. Just a bit, we're going to be singing a song in response to the sermon. I'll be in the back if you want to talk to me more about Jesus Christ. Nothing would make me happier to tell you more about Jesus, to testify more to Jesus Christ. Also, as you close, dear Christian, as you maybe heard this sermon, different sermons throughout this series, and this is not true of you, that people don't recognize you have been with Jesus, that you know that you're just not walking with beautiful feet, let me invite you to repent, to follow Jesus, to become a fisher of men. Dear friend, the greatest task that we can do together, this task, this privilege, this joy, is telling others about Jesus. And we need to be willing to do any and all things necessary within the bounds of scriptures to reach people with the gospel. Question for us is, will we do it? Will this be true of us? Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. But for us, Red Village Church, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. When we do that, we will make an impact for the cause of Christ, for the glory of Christ. Beautiful feet walk with a bold testimony of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are desperate this morning for you to help us. We cannot do this on our own. We cling to your promises that you will be with us. We cling to your promises that you will give us the power to do this. We cling that your perfect love casts out any fear that we might have. God, please forgive us of our failures. Please forgive us for taking glory to ourselves, for being maybe good or nice. God, please, God, we pray, we beg of you to fill our hearts with your joy and your love. God, we beg of you this morning to have your love compel us to do what we cannot do on our own. That we are begging you this morning to do a great work in us and through us. That we are begging you this morning to save sinners. We're begging you this morning to lift high the name of Jesus Christ for our good, for his glory. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.